Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. Well, I want to thank everybody that participated in our campaign with Preborn. It's not over yet, folks, but let me tell you, we have reached our goal. We did it in very quick order, but here's what we want to do, because I committed to everybody that we are going to go till Mother's Day, and I want to go to Mother's Day, and if we go to Mother's Day and we continue to save the lives of babies through Preborn, and for every $28 that you sponsor an ultrasound, what we want to do. So here's what has happened. And let me just recap this for you, because it is absolutely amazing. Right now, as we speak, there are no centers waiting for an ultrasound machine so they can begin giving out sonograms and the scans that they do. They can begin doing that. No centers. Now, there are centers in the process of qualifying to get onto the waiting list for a machine. But there was a generous donor for every 100 scans that were sponsored at clinics. For every 100, they donated a machine for a center that was on the waiting list for a machine. There were 10, means we had to get to 1,000. We got to 1,000 on Thursday night, and we're over that. I don't know what the number is now, but we're going to keep going to Easter, because what we want to do now is jumpstart. And I'm only doing this because I wasn't expecting to reach the goal. And here's an opportunity. I committed that we were going to do this to you. I said, we're going to do this to Mother's Day. This is going to be a Mother's Day to remember, both in glory and here, for all the lives that will have been saved in 2019 as a result of this Mother's Day gift that we are making. $28 sponsors a scan for a young lady in one of the Preborn centers, okay? So now we've got 10 new centers online. They're not necessarily new centers to Preborn, but now they have an ultrasound machine, or are getting one. And we want to supply each one of those centers with 150 sponsors for each one of them. If we do that, that's going to give them an amazing jump start. They're going to be able to go out all the faster and hire the personnel, the registered nurse, and other things they need in order to start doing these scans without getting in the hole. So we're going to keep this going, and we're going to make this a huge, huge Mother's Day gift. We are going to be saving the lives of countless, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands over the next 15 years. And so we want to give these centers a huge shot in the arm by continuing to sponsor, and the sponsorships that we do now for these ultrasound scans for $28, what we do is going to go to those 10 centers that for the first time now have an ultrasound machine. So we want you to mobilize now. Maybe you're planning on giving again next month, and maybe you can do it now, because this is still more than a one-for-one match. So this is an amazing match, but we want to make sure that we do our part for this in a big, big way. So I'm asking you that you would continue to pray about, continue to feel that nudge from God, and be obedient if you do, to even sponsor one ultrasound scan. It's a $28 to do that. So you can sponsor five of them for $140. You can dial pound 250, that's the phone number, And you can go right now and sponsor just one for $28. That would be such a blessing, or anything in between. So, or more, or whatever you want to do. And we sure would appreciate that. And we, you know, I had a longtime partner of Financial Issues write me an email last week and said that he was sponsoring 100 scans, and he was writing a check and mailing it in for 100 scans. So he wrote a check for $2,800 to sponsor 100. So that 100 got a machine for a center, just his check. I mean, what an amazing work that he is doing. And we're so grateful. And I imagine other people may have done that too that I haven't heard from, but we sure would love for you to come alongside us in this amazing campaign. We're going to go till Mother's Day. I don't even know when Mother's Day is. Does anybody know? Is it like 2 weeks? I don't know when it is, but we're going to go to Mother's Day, and we want you to be there with us, please. So we hope that you will go to preborn.org. Just go to our website, Financial Issues, and click on the baby bottle.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag update for April 24th. The corn market traded lower yesterday, with many months putting in new life of contract lows. At this point, there doesn't seem to be much concern about delayed planting, and that lack of concern, coupled with large stocks, kept traders selling into this market. Another factor weighing on this market is the knowledge that U.S. farmers are holding on to sizable amounts of unpriced grain that has yet to hit the market. When the farmer is undersold, it's hard to get a rally. We've got a lot of corn and beans that need to be priced before this fall's harvest, and the market knows it, which is not conducive to a rally. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a half cent higher. With no signed trade deal with China and weak exports, the path of least resistance in the soybean market seems to be lower. That was the case yesterday, with most months 13 to 15 cents lower. The last time November futures were lower than the current level was on September 20th of last year. Also a factor is African swine fever, which is fatal to pigs but harmless in humans. It has spread to every province on the Chinese mainland since its initial detection in August of 2018, and that's raising a concern about a drop in Chinese demand for both soybeans and corn. Now, the USDA has projected that U.S. soybean stocks at the end of the 2018-19 marketing year will reach 895 million bushels, and that's more than double the previous year. The weight of this year's fundamentals are being felt by the realization that a Chinese trade deal may not be enough to fix the trade balance. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading 3 cents higher. The wheat market was mostly higher yesterday, with spring wheat being supported by the low planting numbers in Monday's crop progress planting report. There was also some technical buying as the winter wheat markets bounced off of recent contract lows. In the overnight trade, the technical buying has kind of disappeared. We've got Chicago trading 2 cents lower, while Kansas City is down 3 cents. On the other hand, Minneapolis is trading up 2 cents again this morning as I record this. I was excited when the July cotton futures broke through the $76 level, but instead of running, they've settled into kind of a new trading range, roughly defined by 77 on the bottom side and 80 on the top. Yesterday, the July futures closed 56 points lower, but still in the range as they settle at 77.91. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading down an additional 44 points. Livestock had a less than inspiring session, with June live cattle down 45 points, while August feeder cattle were 7.5 cents stronger. June lean hogs had a rough day as they closed a buck 40 lower for the session. Class 3 milk futures kept their recent winning streak alive, with June futures up 2 points as they settled at 16.06. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading unchanged. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 37 cents lower at $234.11, while selects were $1.38 lower as they settled at $221.26. In hogs, pork carcass values closed $1.06 higher as they settled at $88.
Welcome back, Financial issues, 844-707-5533. I was talking a little bit about Bernie Sanders. Let's play this clip of Bernie Sanders last night at a town hall meeting with Martha McCallum and Bret Baier. Go ahead, John.
So you've recommended a wealth tax, 70% wealth tax.
I think at a time when Wall Street is doing phenomenally well and we have millions of young people who are deeply in debt for the crime of having gone to college, I believe we should pass a speculation tax on Wall
Street. Well, that's fine, but I'm asking you about the wealthy and how much higher you would make it. You said you don't agree with 70%. What would your number be?
In the campaign in 2016, we talked about 52%. We're going to fight for a wealth tax, and we're going to demand that we end the absurdity where major corporation after major corporation, you know what,
in this tax bill
that you are defending.
You know what, wealth tax of 52%, think about that. Wealth tax of 52%, let's make something very clear. They went on to talk about an individual tax. He did say that individual taxes will be going up, but a wealth tax of 52%. That would be, and I don't, right now it looks like he's talking about everybody making over $1 million because that's what he makes a year. So I guess it's going to be something over that number. Certainly it's not going to be somebody that makes $1 million. That would include him, and politicians don't do that. So I would just say that a 52% wealth tax is not near enough. And I would also indicate to you that studies say 100% tax is not enough to pay for Medicare for all, free tuition, getting out of debt, so many other things. It doesn't pay for any of that. 100% on the wealthy would not pay for that. It mathematically doesn't work. So there is no, and it would have to be a significant tax of about 70-75% on every working person in the country. That's what socialism does. That's what it looks like in Europe. Socialism is the sharing of nothing. That's what it is. So it would have to be a significant tax. So I want you to think about a 70% cut in your take-home pay. That's what it would look like. And they can spin it. They can argue it. They can say anything they want to say, but the mathematics, I'm just talking about 1 + 1 = 2. That is the ultimate truth, right? Other than God's word. 1 + 1 = 2. You can't twist it. You can't change it. You can't fix it. We know what it's going to cost to supply Medicare for all. We know what that's going to be. We know that it's going to mean an enormous amount of rationing of health. And somewhere in the deep state, buried beneath all the paperwork, in their calculations that will never see the light of day, they do understand that there is going to be a large, large, large segment of the population that won't, even with all of that, have access to care. Many of those people will die before they ever get to a doctor. So therefore, the actuaries are calculating in the savings that the government will have on these programs, because there's going to be an enormous amount that they just aren't going to pay for. Now, you can whine and moan all you want about when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, no, you can't do that because Medicare doesn't cover it, or you can't go there because Medicare doesn't cover that particular physician or that particular specialty for somebody at your stage of disease, whatever it might be, or whatever you're going for. You can whine and complain about that, but understand something. There is still a level, a very low level, it's gotten lower, still a low level of accountability to the government for not supplying that. It still is somewhat of a third rail of politics. It is something that is going to keep you from voting politicians if that gets out. But when we reach a place where it's Medicare for all, it is universal health care, government health care, single payer, whatever you want to call it, health care, when it gets to that point, there is no level of accountability. Medicare says we are paying for this and not that. You don't like it? I don't know what to tell you. We don't pay for that. Yeah, but I got, it doesn't matter. There is no yeah, but. Yeah, but I still have a lot of quality of life left in me. No, it doesn't matter. We don't pay for that. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to get that care, you're going to have to do that on your own. Somebody like me and other people that are on Samaritan Ministries, we're not going to have that problem. But we will still have the problem of finding even a doctor that is working outside this Medicare system and getting in, because the waiting list is going to be very long. So look, the notion that there's even even 100 people in the room listening to this and could potentially be ill-informed enough to believe that all of this is possible is a sad state of our voter. And that's the sad reality of it all. But it's the deception that of hiding or just flat out lying about it. I'll give you an example. State of the Union speech. You will be able to keep your doctor. State of the Union speech, same one. Your average costs are going to go down by $1,200 to $2,400 a year. Boy, that sure sounded good, didn't it? None of it was true. Do you believe for 1 minute that the President of the United States or the person that designed that bill, I can't think of his name right now, believe that? Didn't believe that. They knew that wasn't true. They also knew there were certain things that had to be said once the bill got passed. All of that would be too late, and they'll deal with that at the time. This is the same. This is going to be the MO of how they are going to push through single payer health care, Medicare for all. This is how they're going to do it. It's going to be with lies and deceptions. Once the bill is passed and the bill is done, it's never going to change. And I just want to tell you why it is never going to change. I want to tell you what exactly and why the impossibility of it, of changing is. When we get 50.1% of the American people with a dependency upon the government, it will never, ever get fixed. Never. And right now, we're at 48%. It's not going to take much to push us over the edge. When you get 500,000 illegal immigrants in the city of San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York City, and you can rally those troops to go to the voting booth, we're doomed. It's never going to get fixed. The next generation's going to fix it. The next election isn't going to fix it. The next election isn't going to fix it. The only way it can be fixed is to never let it happen. And the only way it can never happen is if we stand fast. And here's my concern. These arguments that the left is making are so ludicrous, so unbelievable, so unrealistic, so, when you look at them, they're so unlikely to ever happen that we get complacent because we actually start believing that surely everybody understands that and can see it. And we get complacent. So it's not that everybody that we say, surely they know this is a lie. That's not the problem. The problem is because we just think that or we believe that could be a possibility, we tend to stay away from the polls. And then we will sit back like we are sitting back today and we're saying, how could this have happened in the Congress where all of these radical progressives are taking over the House of Representatives? Because we, you and I, let it happen. Because we were still celebrating as they were still mourning Hillary Clinton. We were celebrating the election of President Trump. And in doing so, we forgot to go to the polls during the midterm elections. And now look at what has happened. That's the scary part. It's about complacency of you and I. That is what and the more radical and the more ludicrous, the more ridiculous statements that they make about what they are going to do, and the more times they say free this, free that, the more complacent we're going to get because it's so ridiculous. We had better not let that happen. Oh, man. 844-707-5533. Well, I told you I had an announcement to make today. It's not going to take long. I'm going to make it, and we'll talk about it later as soon as we get back off this break, and then we're going to go to phones. We have one line open, 844-707-5533. You want to queue your call. Also, Facebook. Put your question up on Facebook. We got to all of them yesterday. We'll try to do the same today. We'll be right back. Folks, if you are a partner, would you go to the website, read the commentary section for this morning? I did add onto there, onto the commentary section this morning, just a little idea of some of my concerns. We also, don't forget, next week we have a conference call. I suspect that I might have a conference call even before that. So if you are a partner, you don't want to miss that. Please make sure you stay tuned for all of that. We're trying to move. I'm trying to, as fast as I can, try to keep you informed as much as I can. And I'm preparing a number of things in order to do that. We're going to, right now, I'm preparing them for the conference call, which I believe is next Thursday. I'm not sure. I don't remember the exact date, but I know it's next week sometime. So we're looking forward to that, and I make sure that you tune in and check in with that conference call. Very, very important. And if we have another one before that, I will let you know. But I did put a little information over some of the things that I am looking and watching for, some of the things I've already said here this morning on the commentary section of our website. So next Thursday is our conference call. By the way, NFIB, the National Federation Independent Business Survey, came out this morning. It was up. And I got to tell you, when I saw that, I took a little bit of a sigh of relief. That's very good news. It's up 0.1%. So it's at 101.8. So we're staying still above that 100 mark, and that is very good news. The better news, I mean, that's good news. That's great. But the better news yet is the uncertainty index. So they have an index of uncertainty. And the uncertainty index actually dropped to 79. And that means it's returning to more normal levels of uncertainty that small business companies have. And so that is good news to see that drop. So not a lot of uncertainty, pretty important that we continue to see that optimism grow, and we are seeing behind the largest employer in the nation, which is small business, still stay very, very optimistic. So that is good news. We'll watch. I'm glad the uncertainty, because uncertainty is the worst thing possible, that we can have high numbers and we don't want to see that. So we did see that drop, and that is good news. So we'll watch it, but some of their concerns remain the same. You know, the ability to hire, find people, that is still a concern. Opportunity for hiring is high. That's good, but it's not good if you can't find people to hire, then it becomes a problem. So plans to increase employment, companies that are looking to increase employment was up 18%. That's very, very good. And that was one of the numbers that was up. Current job openings were up. They ask a question, is this a good time to expand? That was up to 23%. That was higher. Earnings trend up again. So that is up. So we have some really good current inventories. That was a little bit negative. That was down a little bit. And people that expected, business that expected credit conditions to get negative, that was a little bit more negative. Right now, we're watching the indices take it on the chin. As we look at the Dow is down about 0.75% right now. So Dow down about 0.75%. The Nasdaq's down about just over 0.33%. The S&P's down about 0.75%. And again, the Dow is down just over 0.75%. So anyway, that's where we are right now, and we'll see how that holds, if that's going to continue to struggle as we move forward. All right, let's go to phones. 844-707-5533. All our lines are open except for the one I'm about to take. Yvonne calling from North Carolina. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, Dan. My husband and I are both drawing Social Security, and our financial advisor wants to sell whole life insurance. Do you advise getting whole life, and if so, how much?
Well, no, I don't advise it unless do you have a need for life insurance? In other words, are you going to suffer financial hardship if someone were to, either one of you were to go home early? I don't know why. I mean, I know why they advise it, but I wouldn't even consider it. I mean, you don't need life insurance. What you need is a good investment account that you can begin to save. I don't know what the life insurance was costing, but let's just say it was $300 a month. You'd be far better off by having an investment account somewhere at a brokerage investment account where you're putting $300 a month away. That's going to serve you far better into the future than a life insurance product.
Okay. Thank you.
So, yeah, I'd rather see you do that. I wouldn't even spend money on term insurance unless somebody, you know, there's a financial risk there without when the Lord calls the first one of you home, that there's going to be financial hardship and that person's not going to be able to, you know, because maybe there's a mortgage that's got to get paid or something that, you know, some kind of debt that would need to get paid off, I wouldn't even have term insurance unless you need that.
Right. Okay. Good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm glad you called about that, Yvonne. That was a great question. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. I also want to mention to you, although this has never happened before in all the years, but it did happen apparently recently, and I just want to point this out. So people call me all the time, and I say things like, well, you need to open a brokerage account. And I'll say things like, just go to E-Trade or TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or Schwab or Vanguard or Interactive Brokers. I don't know, whatever the first couple of ones that come to my mind. In other words, what I'm saying is I really don't care. I mean, there are some that I would advise you not to open, but for the most part, open a discount brokerage. I say that with the idea that you're a partner and you're going to follow along with the ministry. But I don't say that so you go to an E-Trade or a, you know, Fidelity. You go there and call and say, okay, I'm opening an account with you. I have, you know, $200,000. Would you just go ahead and invest it for me? It's not what I'm asking you to do. Now, that because I say that, and I've said this a million times, that we're not that concerned with an E-Trade or Fidelity or a Schwab or anybody else being biblically responsible in and of themselves. What I'm concerned about is that your investments inside of that account are biblically responsible. You are doing that so that you are using them as your platform to trade into a biblically responsible investment. Somebody did that recently, and there are in all these ETFs that are not biblically responsible because they thought E-Trade was biblically responsible. Even if E-Trade was biblically responsible, they put you into unbiblical things. So that doesn't make you biblically responsible. So please, I don't, just another thing for me to worry about when I talk that somebody's going to hear it wrong. But I worry about it because I know you have good intentions. And I want you to try to make sure that you have clarification. If you aren't clear, that's why we have phone lines open. When you're listening, at some point in time, you can call in and you can ask the question. Nobody's going to know who you are. There's no reason to be embarrassed. There is no silly question. If you have a question that you feel like, well, that's very, you know, elementary, I'm not going to ask that question. Chances are there's about 1,000 people listening that have the exact same question that don't want to call in. So you're doing a service by calling in and asking some of the questions that only you think are silly. I never will. I never, never do. So nobody has ever heard me say, well, that's a ridiculous question. I've never said that. I try, I can say that with some confidence because it's just not something that I would do. My goal is not to make anybody feel bad. So for asking a question. Anyway, so be very careful of that. It is the investment inside of your account. People say, well, I'm with XYZ life insurance annuity, and are my investments biblically responsible? Well, I usually say no, because they're probably not, because I know most of the companies that have agreements with most of the life insurance companies, and they're not. So you're not going to have an option in that annuity to use Timothy Mutual Funds or anything like that, or individual stocks that are biblically responsible. You're not going to have that option. So for the most part, the money that you're putting in there is not going to be biblically responsible. All right, 844-707-5533. We've got lines open. We'll go to call as soon as we get back. 844-707-5533.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. You can queue your call up if you want, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Matt's calling us from Missouri. Hey, Matt.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Question. Over the years, I've had a couple of 401ks and a couple of different jobs, and for one reason or another, to keep things going strong and keep the house afloat and bills paid and all that, when I changed jobs, I cashed them in and did what I had to do to make things work.
Right.
And found myself in 2011 with a different company and small little trucking company, a couple of drivers is all. There's no insurance, no 401k, none of that. And I'm getting to be 58 this year, and I got about, I figure, 15 to 17 years left of driving, and I want to get out of it. And I'm putting away what I can every week in savings, and, you know, we got a small amount of money in checking, and my wife works too, but I still, in the back of my mind, I'm wanting to get back into some kind of a plan where I could be putting some money away where it's making me a little bit of money. So I wanted to start another 401k or something that would help me accumulate, and I know it's a little late in life to start now, but something so that when I retire, I got a few thousand here and there in the bank.
Sure.
So where should I go with that?
Well, I would probably look at a Roth IRA account and start, you know, I would set it up. Matt, do you get paid like automatic deposit in your checking account? Okay.
No, I just get a check every week and I take it to my bank.
I would set it up. If you get paid every week, I would set it up so that every week automatically, you know, $25, $100, whatever it is you can do, is coming out automatically. Like it's almost like it's coming out of your pay and into this Roth IRA account. I keep building that up. Now, I don't know what kind of risk tolerance you have. If you don't have a lot of risk tolerance, in other words, you know, to get in the markets, then I would just, you know, do something at a bank or a credit union that is going to continue to pay you an okay interest, you know, maybe get 2% or something, that right now until interest rates go up a little bit higher, and constantly be putting money into that. And I think, you know, that might make the most sense for you if you don't have a lot of risk. Aside from that, if you have some risk, then I would look at going into an investment account somewhere where you're actually accumulating some money in some investments. And I think that might make more sense. If you're going to do that, you might want to open up a Roth IRA at Timothy account, and have them take that money out, and it's going to go in to various different funds that you're set up. And I can help you set some of that up, but I, you know, before, you know, as once you get that initial deposit and you're having some money coming out every pay, or once a month if you want, but, you know, then we can start thinking about which funds to go into. I think in the long run, over the next 17 years, that's going to be better for you. You just got to be able to live with the, you know, the ups and downs a little bit in the market.
Yeah, I understand that. I was just thinking of, like, a percentage of my gross every week, maybe 5% of my gross every week, and taking that amount and putting that into that fund.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be great. Now, you're limited to $7,000 a year. So if you're making, you know, more than, you know, I don't know, $35,000, is that what that is? I don't know that it might not be, you know, it might, you can only put in 7,000. Now, what you could do is you could open one for your wife too there. And so then you could do 14,000, and that would probably cover you. So that might be a better way to go, just so you can get a little bit more in. If you can't do it now, you might have some years where you will be doing it. So just think about that. That's just an IRS rule that if you're if you're over 50, you can put $7,000 into a IRA.
Okay. All righty. Well, I appreciate your input then. That's what I needed to know.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Matt. Glad you called.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks. And folks, remember, it's not too late. It's never too late. I mean, just keep getting, it's never too late to save. It's never too late to put some money aside. Especially, you know, like Matt's got 17 years. He thinks he's going to work another 17 years, I think he said. You have that much time. You know, it's not too late, and you should be, don't allow two things to be discouraging to you. One is, oh, I don't have enough time, so no sense of doing anything. Or I can only do a little bit of money, so there's no sense. I might as well not do anything. That's the stumbling block that everybody trips over that is, you know, getting started. It's always the way. It's one of those things that discourage people from doing anything. Don't let that happen, because that is not good. You don't need to let that happen. You'll be fine. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Russell. Russell's calling us from Florida. Hey, Russell.
Hey, Dan. I've talked to you before. I'm a partner. Hey, I have a friend. He passed away, and he left his wife a term life insurance. And she's still working, 62. She plans on working till four more years. And she has a 403B, the amount of which I'm not, she hasn't gotten back to me. But she puts in about $6,000 a year into that. Now, can she open up? How much is the maximum amount? Can you do both?
You can do both. You can do both. And in her case, she can do both because she's not maxing out her 403B. So she still has room. And yes, she could open a Roth IRA account.
Okay. So what would be the max for the 403?
I don't. She'd have to.
How would you know your?
She'd have to ask human resources.
Okay.
So they'll tell her, because it depends on the wages and stuff, how much she earns.
Okay. So if she's doing the max there, does that mean she can still do the max, the $7,000 in the?
No. No, she can't. Oh, so but she's not doing anywhere near the max if she's putting $6,000 a year in.
Okay. So the 403B is above and beyond the $7,000, right?
Yes.
I mean, you would put in an IRA.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so we got to find out how much she's actually put in, and she can put the rest in a Roth, because she's still working.
Correct.
And she has this life insurance policy.
Yep.
And I got, you know, I'm sure there's some great insurance people out there, but, you know, when they won't give you the check, they got to give it to you in person because it's a company policy.
Yeah.
You know the sales pitch is coming in.
It's coming.
You know, these are grieving people, and they're coming to your house.
She can't let it happen. I would call.
I would call
the number on the policy and say, this may be an internal policy. It's not the law. Send me the check. And that's what she should do. And I always tell people, don't do anything for 12 months, except leave it in the insurance company. I would leave the money there. I would get it over and put it in a CD, if nothing else. But I wouldn't, in a bank, but I wouldn't let it sit there, but I wouldn't make any major decisions. They're only coming over because it's going to sound really good to her. They're just going to sell her another annuity.
Yeah, we already, as soon as, you know, my wife went up there to be with her, and that was the first thing. Says, look, don't do anything for a year. And she got the, you know, we drilled it into her, don't sign anything. And she got the check and put it in her savings account.
Good.
So
good.
You know, but Jordan,
oh, it's
anything,
terrible.
He was there with a sales pitch.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah.
Just like you said, I said, man, this is the thing Dan's harsh on.
Yeah,
you know, and it's all for an annuity. You know, yeah. Oh, you can be, and I can get, you know, guarantee. I said, he can't guarantee you nothing.
Right,
don't do it. Because it'll lock it down, right? For
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll be locked up for 8 to 10 years. Maybe. I've seen 12, so, yeah.
Okay, we'll
all
figure
right.
out how much she can open that for. Okay,
good
thank
job.
You.
Good job, you. Russell. Good job. I'm glad you did that.
All right.
All right.
I'm doing my little part. Yeah.
Great, thanks. 844-707-5533. We got another hour left, folks. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. I love it. Russell's been listening for a long time, man, and he's got it. And, folks, you know, anybody you know that's grieving like that, don't do a thing. Make sure they know. I mean, they're not going to make a good decision. Just let it sit. A year is not going to change anything. And there's, you know, just there's too many other things to think about when you're going through that grieving process. So I'm glad he gave her that advice, and it was good advice. So good stuff. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Folks, if you haven't contemplated, or maybe you are, I hope you'll consider being a partner with the ministry. We sure would appreciate it. It helps keep this ministry going, helps us serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we're here for. We hope that you will support the ministry by becoming a partner, and I know it's going to be good for you if you do so. Folks, as we consider our income for life, think about that charitable gift annuity. It's on my asset allocation model, and you shouldn't blow it off. You all should be thinking about that for your income.